It's good to sing, isn't it? Singing cultivates our memory of God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's redemption. It's good to sing. And in that way, we remember to live. We sing, as it were, to live the truth of God as we go forth. Turn with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. In the Pew Bible, it's page 230. 1 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 14. Whenever I take my kids home, where I grew up home, Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, cultural center of the universe, Brad. When I take them there, I always run them through this tour. We go to the high school I went to, and I say, there's the high school. And they say, yeah, Dad, we know. And I take them to the wrestling gym in my high school. We had our own wrestling gym. And I say, that's the gym I wrestled in. And they say, yeah, Dad, I know. And I take them by the house I grew up in on the lake. It's a beautiful place. As a matter of fact, last time we got out and played on the beachfront. And I say, this is the house I grew up in. And they say, yeah, Dad, we know. And I take them by the elementary school. And the last time I went by the elementary school that I went to, they had razzed it and built a new, bigger, better elementary school. And I was distraught. This is not the elementary school that I went to. You know, when I go back home, you know, way back, like elementary school home, I like to see the things that were there when I was there. I like to cultivate the memory, and I want my kids to join me, right? I like for them to like what I like, and they just suffer through it. But those places, for me, are special. It's kind of like I'm cultivating memory. Marion and I, we keep talking about going back to the school where we graduated college, King College, just to see if the swing that we were engaged on is still there. We used to go and sit and have talks on this swing, and I asked her to marry me there, and it took her a long time to tell me yes, but she finally acquiesced. I think it was emotion at first. But she told me yes, and we talk about going back there. My wife and her sisters get along. They always go to pictures. They're cultivating memory. Singing does that. And the Bible encourages us to do that, to raise an Ebenezer. Did you notice that in the first hymn we sang tonight, by the way? I know. Y'all define those words. Everybody know what an Ebenezer is, right? Everybody know? Yeah. Stone of help. Okay? Stone of help. Here's the second verse of the Robinson hymn here. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope, by God's good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Now, we sing that, and maybe somewhere in the past you've heard, oh yeah, that's that stone of help. But you know, that comes from the Bible. Good hymn writers are biblical theologians. They care that the truth of their song reflects the truth of God's Word. And that verse is reflecting a salvation event, a redemptive event in the life of Israel. You know, this morning we concluded the Samson saga. In Samson, for Israel at the time of Samson, who was the enemy? The Philistines, right? The Philistines are upon you, right? You know, it took years to defeat the Philistines. As a matter of fact, it was in that judge outside of the book of Judges in Samuel's life that happened. And it happens here, actually, in 1 Samuel 7. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, stone of help. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered the territory from the hands of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Notice there, why is it that he sets up this stone? Because God has been our help. Till now, God has been our help. And when we sing, we cultivate that kind of redemptive ministry. One person has called this text the gospel rock. He has called it the place where people remembered God's salvation. One of the great effects of worship, our time together, because Presbyterians historically have been a people of the book who pray the book, read the book, sing the book, preach the book. We've been called a people of the book, a people of the Bible. And in that, singing is to cultivate a redemptive history so that our memory is sharpened and our love is sustained. We go forth. And notice here, this stone of help. I mean, I think that's difficult for us. Many of you probably sing that phrase there, Ebenezer, and you get in something kind of eerie goes off in your mind, because who's the Ebenezer we know? That's right. We know Ebenezer Scrooge, right? And so it'd be easier to think of God as stingy in this point in order, right? We know our fairy tales better than we know our Bible. We know our stories of old better than we know God's Word. And yet the Ebenezer, this idea is the idea of help. God helps His people when they turn to Him. How good are you at turning to the Lord? Samuel, that's really all he did. As a matter of fact, this remembrance, this redemption, really all the people of Israel did is finally they cried out to the Lord, they turned to the Lord, and they got scared because the Philistines heard that they were going to worship, and so the Philistines came after them. And all of a sudden, the people got scared, so they cried out to the Lord again. You can test me. Go back and read chapter 6 and 7 of 1 Samuel here. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave a loud thunderclap. Kaboom! And it freaked out the Philistines, and they fled. And here we've got Samuel setting up this stone. Look, guys, thus far, who has been our help? The Lord has been our help. Whenever you need a help, there is one to help in God. Always look back. Till now. Did you get that in the phrase there? Verse 12. Till now. Can you say that? God has been our help. Till now, God has been our help. That actually helps you a whole bunch. You know, we live for now. We hope for the future. We forget the past. But it's great for you to remember how much God has been your help. The one who has been your help in the past will be your help in the present and promises to be your help in the future. And trust me, you're going to need His help. God is our help. What's an Ebenezer? It's a stone of help. And so they set up this monument of remembrance, this gospel rock. Remember, people, God. Remember, God has redeemed us. Why did they do that? Because we tend to need constant reminding. That's one of the reasons we sing great hymns. You know, it's one of those story tales about this particular hymn, Come Thou Fount. Y'all may have heard it. It was written by a guy named Robert Robertson, who was born in the 18th century. He grew up a kid of hard knocks. His dad died when he was young, and he was left out on the street, and so he got in with a gang of ruffians. And in his teenage years, they were messing around. They thought it would be fun to mess with a fortune teller. And so they got her drunk and they kept pouring alcohol down her throat, hoping that she would give them some free fortunes. And the lady, amidst her drunken stupor, looked up and pointed her bony little finger in Robinson's face and said, "You will see your children and your grandchildren live." And I don't know why, but something about that hit his soul. And he realized if he was going to see his children and grandchildren, then something needed to change about his life. And he went and heard this famous pastor, George Whitfield. You ever heard of George Whitfield? Went and heard him speak. And George Whitfield scared Jesus right into his heart. That's the way he tells the story. He preached on what a wretched man he was, and it scared him. And it took 3 years, but he kind of went through this wrestling of coming to Jesus, and then he became a circuit-riding pastor. He became a preacher. And he went on to tell of life and struggle. One who had come up in hard times, he knew the struggle. And so he knew the need of remembering. He needed a help. You know, there's that story that goes along with his story. Sometimes it's old. I found it in storied hymn books, but I can't verify it. And as a matter of fact, the research I did this week says it's not verifiable. That one day he was riding in a coach and some lady was reading and singing this song, and he said, "I am the writer." I wish I still felt that way about the song, basically his summation. Now, we don't know if he wandered and then came back. We do know that one of his last sermons he preached before he died in 1790 was this: "Jesus is beautiful. He is very God. He is very man. And He is true beauty." Jesus promises to be our help. Robert Robertson knew it. And so he penned early a hymn to remind him of his need to the Savior. And you need help too. And there is one to claim. When we sing hymns, whatever tune you prefer, we sing theology. We sing our truths of God and our hope of God. And Jesus is our help. Till now. Till now, has the Savior helped you? Till now, He has been our help. And beloved, the one who has helped you till now, I promise you can trust to the end. Jesus is our help. And so let's sing the one who is for us help and truth in life. I think we've got a couple more songs. You guys can come up while I'm praying, and then we'll go to eat. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we need you. And we are reminded as we sing of great grace and great debts, of the bad news of our sin and the good news of your grace, that you are our help, that you will sustain us. Help us to feast upon your word, to rejoice that you are God, to sing of your mercy, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.